of journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Real minds. These are weapons of mass descent.
These are weapons of mass descent.
Welcome to Uprising, the daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Friday, August 22nd, 2008, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar.
It just makes me stop and think. Silence is not an option.
As we start wrapping up our summer sign-up membership drive, we'll hear today from two distinguished guests, Paldin Gyatso, a Tibetan monk and torture survivor in studio, and live from Boston, people's historian Howard Zinn.
Fellow meadows out, but I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising. Good morning and welcome to Uprising. This is it, folks. Today is the very last day that you can show your support for Uprising by becoming a member of KPFK during our summer sign-up membership drive. We end this very short summer drive this evening at 6 p.m. sharp. We've kept our promise. It's going to be no longer than 8 days. And every call we get, every online pledge, is a vote for Uprising to continue doing what we've been doing and an incentive for us to do even better. In just a few moments, we're going to be speaking live in studio with an incredibly heroic activist struggling for freedom for his land, Tibet, a man who was brutally tortured and lives to talk about it and about why he continues struggling. Make a pledge to KPFK and Uprising, because we have dared to talk about torture. In fact, make a pledge of just $10 a month for Taxi to the Dark Side, an Academy Award-winning documentary on DVD, which we featured on this show. We just played an interview yesterday with Alex Gibney, the filmmaker. So join us now. Don't wait any longer. We're running out of time. It's imperative that you support independent media, all thousands of you out there listening this very minute. We'll be right back after this short break with our first story.
Exciting news!
Public radio is important.
The way to understand how important radio stations are like this is to ask yourself, how has the conservative movement been built?
Behind the scenes!
The conservative government that you look at right now on television every day is the product of a conservative movement that's top down.
I have absolute power.
The voices in the 1970s and 1980s of the conservative movement started at radio stations, magazines, books, and through an amplification system, through an education system, pushed their way up the ladder, finally, unfortunately, up into the White House to control our government.
You'd never believe they'd cause so much damage.
The progressive movement needs that kind of same commitment to getting voices out there.
We can deal with this humanely.
If you want a progressive state legislator,
that's the way it's supposed to be.
If you want a progressive member of Congress,
I like the sound of that.
If you want to read more progressive voices in your media,
well, geez.
If you want the progressive message coming across at all levels, on behalf of what we all believe in.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Radio stations like KPFK are precisely what makes that happen. And that's really not an exaggeration.
So make it happen now before our summer sign-up ends. Become a member of KPFK by calling 818-985-5735 or going online at kpfk.org.
For the Chinese government, keeping up appearances at the Beijing Olympics has so far meant jailing 6 pro-Tibet protesters, detaining 4 more, and blocking access to iTunes for distributing an album of Free Tibet protest songs. The effort seems to sadly have succeeded, even though the Dalai Lama reported that up to 140 Tibetan protesters were killed when the Chinese army fired on a crowd in eastern Tibet this past Monday. Media coverage of the Olympics has eclipsed the massacre. In an interview with Le Monde, the Dalai Lama added that 400 additional people had been killed in Lhasa alone. Believing the Chinese government won't let up in the near future, he said that a project of long-term brutal oppression is underway. In May, Paldin Gyatso, a Buddhist monk imprisoned and tortured for 33 years by the Chinese army, testified at a Spanish court hearing on crimes against humanity, torture, and genocide in Tibet. Makoto Sasa's documentary Fire Under the Snow has captured the life and struggle of Pal Dengatso on film, and it opens this weekend in theaters locally. Pal Dengatso, dissident Tibetan monk, joins me in studio this morning. He's the subject of this documentary, Fire Under the Snow. Makoto Sasa, also in studio with me, and interpreter Yen Dengatso. Welcome to Uprising, all of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I'd like to start by posing a question to Paladin. You went on hunger strike in Italy after the Winter Olympics Games in 2006 when you first found out that China was to be the host for the next Olympics that are happening right now. How did you feel when you heard that China was to be the host, and why did you go on hunger strike?
Niton jek Olympic ta da khonzu pagala jamila chom gores anti korte ko aniti hunger strike chi jo tunzola samse kar chon so sa
tikal ani ta Italy ani olumbi tunza ka la ine kungge tunza ka la ine manju seje ngo go che ko ya miu zo di ne ani ye ton je lo la jana la ani je chi olumbi chok chong gi demo thabya tebres कब तीतू खारे सुन गया रहते ना इन्हें नियतों जेल इन्हें जाना ट्रेवरे इन्हें 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 जाना के दीपरूल ड्रामी थोड़ा तंग जाना ड्रामी थोड़ा तंग पेहो ड्रामी थोड़ा ले जुड़ा तंग भाई ने नियतों दिने सीग्रेस दी मैंना इन्हें नियतों दिने सीग मारे दिने सुन
The first thing, the reason for their hunger strike was that when they learned that 2008, the China was going to host Olympics, and so before they made the final decision, the Chinese government promised that they were going to improve human rights in China and Tibet. So their purpose is to make sure that will happen.
And did it happen?
Te chong yo re sta de pegal ndo mi thop tang tang so yar je ro do yo re khonzu
ye che ndo ya cha ni in ndo mi to na tur chi yo re ine ta olombi chorjung ki khandra ine tim ta ya te bre ti indu ta ne in nge sam tu khar yo chne olombi chokjung rang gi ti shi ti ta ta de yo ma re sang tu se ine ndo mi thop tang gi ne je le te ne olombi gi tian zo ti de yo re जनाल बहुत मिठो था नहीं थे दिले में वा जनाल ट्रेवरी थी ता केजी में सुखजुन खोरांगी जी कुम्बा शेजों नोबरे संगीयुस।
So I think the human rights issue got much worse in Tibet and China, and I believe that the Olympic Committee they fell their rule, their promises. They made a wrong decision to give the permission to the Chinese government to host the Olympics.
Makoto Sasa, I want to bring you into the conversation. Why did you choose to make this film, Fire Under the Snow, about Pal Dengatso? Why did you pick him as the subject?
Because I always have been interested in Tibetan Buddhism and Tibet, but his story really gave me an inspiration when I was having the most difficult time. When I moved to New York City 12 years ago, I was lonely, I didn't speak English, but I always remembered about his story, and then that gave me inspiration to live that time. So it was very personal. His story was very personal to me. And then years later, I read his autobiography, and I just couldn't sleep, and I decided to make a documentary about him.
Mm. Paladin, you were tortured so brutally. First of all, why do you think, what was the goal from the Chinese perspective to torture you in this way? And how did that experience change you?
Tangma di pge jemi ge be ni dong mangbu ta re ne la ni dong mangbu ta re ni dong mangbu ta jim sen de khar chi ta re ani ti tang du sama la gen la su su chi nyam nyong la na ta chi ma chi la jurwa khan de le son se do
ta di ni dong tang ya di ani khar chi ni ni dong tang ba re se na ani nge ma nge ani phe di reng zhen re si kya na kong ma re si ani Yeah, racing to a Janakon racing to a Tishesh Sigari, the Ringzi racing also, Yemen, Jacob Sosukari, Nanzu Shunzab, Janal Matanguari, Jana Shunzabia, Nazula Salia, Yungari, Jacob Sosukaris, the Tarachi to send in the Kia Malanza, any Neda Tanguaris, Neda Taya Junji Diris.
The purpose for his rest because he participated in a protest in Tibet. Because there was a Free Tibet protest, and he was participating in the freedom protest, and that's the reason he got arrested. And when they tortured him, that they wanted him to change his mentality. They wanted him to believe that Tibet was never separated from China. Tibet was part of China. I mean, that's something that. Something you can't just simply change on your mind. Tibet was a free Tibet, free country. Tibet still should be free. So he never listened to what they wanted him to believe.
And just for listeners, the film is called Fire Under the Snow. It's a depiction of the life of Paul Ngatso, and the torture that he underwent included being hung from the ceiling, hit with sticks and iron bars. They threw chili on his wounds. He had electric prods inserted into his mouth while his hands were tied behind his back. I want to bring Makoto Sasa into the conversation once more. How did you choose to depict the torture in your film? I mean, it's a very difficult thing to depict. Clearly, this is based on his words, on Paldin's words and his memories.
Right.
How did you choose to do that?
Obviously, it's impossible to get any type of stills or archival footage out of prison in Tibet. So we really have to be creative about it visually. How do we present in the story? And we actually decided to let him talk. And he's, you know, we are first worried about, is it going to be interesting to the audience? But then we decided his face really tells the story. His wrinkles, you know, how he talks, it really brings up what he's been through for 33 years. So we let him speak about the torture. So that became, you know, how we present the torture.
I want to play an excerpt for our listeners. From the film, the documentary, it's called Fire Under the Snow, and when we come back, we'll tell you where you can view the film. It's playing just for 1 week in Southern California, starting this evening.
Since 59, it's been a common practice for the Chinese police and the Chinese military to arrest Tibetans for a number of reasons. One reason they arrest them is that the Tibetans have advocated for the fact that Tibet belongs to Tibetans, that Tibet should be an independent country. Another reason they'll arrest them is if they display the Tibetan flag. Third reason they'll arrest them is if Tibetan is found with a picture of His Holiness the Dalai Lama.
You are in prison, and tomorrow morning you may be called for interrogation. And again, this long session of intimidation, they will ask you some odd questions that where you have no answer, and they ask all the same kind of questions that they've been asking for the past 1 month, and you have to keep on saying no. And every time you say no, they will slap you, beat you, kick you, and the whole outside world is shut for you.
That's an excerpt of the film Fire Under the Snow, and it's showing at the ArcLight Sherman Oaks, 15301 Ventura Boulevard, starting this Friday. In fact, the first screening is at 12:10 p.m., and then there's another one at 6 p.m., all the way through next Thursday. So it's just for a week, and you can find out more at fireunderthesnow.com.
Actually, if we... you come on Friday to Sunday on the weekend screening, we're going to be there. Paul Ngatso is going to be there. I'm going
to
be there. We're
going to
have Q&A. So.
Very good. And certainly worth meeting Paldin in person, a remarkable activist. I want to ask you, Paldin, all of these years later, I mean, you spent 33 years in various prisons and labor camps. You spent all your life fighting for freedom for Tibet. What keeps you going? Where do you find the hope?
Tanda da lo sim chu so sum grang la pe jemi gi ni dong tang kang gi mang bu nyang res ani mi zi kang za chu di nga zu rang zen zu lang chi ni ya ma pe res ra en de ji sa ma di sim shu de khon le gi du sa sim shu de tanda chi tan do be en ro de ur de khon ni yong gu du sa
di sim shu yong ya ji ka res ni nga zu je ge di ring zen ri ja na la pa nga zu ne ba kai ja yo ma ri e ja na ge du shu ngom che nga zu lung ba tendwa chep res lung ba tendwa chep ne sung di ene nyeme mi mangbuchi ene nga zu pe choga sung gi mi mangbuchi ene zonga le chu nyeme gi nye ta ta che ene na ju tang so to tang nga chu nga ku ne je ge sung ba ne ta pa do jun jun ni che yo ma res dum ne ngi nang lo le ni je ge kha sa ka la ene din de chung yo re kure kha du le Kartimsu Karichene, DJ, Internet Tachu worries. The Gemil Tile Tachu Amari, Dimetan, Tangaran, Peva Jimbechan, Ati Taturi, any Manzu Lumbopo, Mercy, Juntun, mitigate, say, mitigate Juvati, Halebe Nabjuri, Sunny, any Takari in a man, the Mulin Timji on the Cabri, Natim Tugi, son, any Simsu Jeta, Mutuni, any Chigios, the Cariusin, any Jumirisia, Chumberis, the Anya Megatagus. Lotongra, Tongra, Kona Tatu Cheni, Tuchu Lang Tubris, Tanganzo, a negative chick, Gemu to Shu Chambri, Kangan Yango Chigri, Tosunga Temba in the Sunny, Kang Temba Tokuri, some to use, still daring and seems to deal any chevies.
Yes. What keeps him going is that when he really think about it, so 1959 they took over all of Tibet, because the China is a big country, Tibet is a very small country, but still the size doesn't really matter. It's a free country. You have your own country, you have your own culture, and the China came and destroyed that. So that's not only during 50s or 60s. They just continue brutal and killing, torturing, imprisoning people still today, like 50 years later, it's not stopping. So for him, that he believed there are so many other nations and other countries, small countries, big countries, they lost their country, but that happened like period of time. And then there's international law. Somehow, many years later, they move on to something different. So they get their freedom back. So the people will be free. People would get freedom to go travel all over the world, whatever they wanted to do, whatever they wanted to study. So he's seen that in the world. There are a lot of countries like that. So he believed that can happen to us. That can happen to our people. So that keeps him going. That keeps him fighting for freedom.
Paulin, what do you think about the fact that you personally are a survivor of torture, yet today the world's richest country, this country, the United States, uses and condones torture as part of its war?
Nyata mampu tambah itu hari lewari, ini lucu kita pun orang luar jepsha yes. Melusun juga susun juga ini nyata jenis tang nanti tuja tuja tambah yes. Ini tanda ngah rawal lumbal le ini jamil kari sunsu yuar esen. Ngah jamil kondo kemes, kondo kemes. Ini tua mizik le jenis itu tu cia di jamil rangi ini jenis ta namju jenis di Indo sana. Mau bala tak tunjuk dia ya bu maris sampai maris je, jadi orang macam ni jemil lah, kau tu kemes. Ni dah tenggi mi tunjuk le, wang jaya maris. Jangan mabuk sungi, kau ni guru yesen, mani rang ni res, kau tu ingat sampai mes. Ni tiap ni lor jadi yes, tandai tak rana yes, mak kau tu mes. Di mak culu tiap jadi res, kau tu cewa ini, cewa tu kacau gua res, cewa tu dijeng ni dijis.
So he was saying, for his torture times and everything, like he's been 33 years in all these different camps and been tortured different ways. The thing for me, I don't have any hate towards Chinese people. Like, say, when I travel all over the world to see the freedom or all these human rights, and you can, I mean, just gives you a little bit more hope to do something for the prisoners still in prison back in Tibet. So, like, say, for instance, everything was written in his book. So he's not like he's not just saying that I don't have anger towards the Chinese people or China. He's a Buddhist and he does not have anger towards the Chinese people or the government. He just needs to make sure that in his life he do his part to raise awareness.
Finally, Makoto Sasa, you're the filmmaker. I was pretty impressed with the amount of vintage footage as well as photographs that you obtained for the film. How did you manage to gather all of that together?
Most of them are from the Office of Tibet. They have a huge archive of footage, so I asked them to borrow us. But then we also use the Chinese propaganda footage, which is actually available. You know, you can use it in a film. And the stills I got from the Human Rights Organization in India. And, yeah, we had quite a research team, and then we got it.
Well, I want to thank the two of you, and three of you, really, very much for joining us today. Makoto Sasa is the producer and director of Fire Under the Snow, a new documentary showing starting this afternoon at the ArcLight in Sherman Oaks, and that is at 15301 Ventura Boulevard, and it's going to show today through Thursday. And also, you can find out more at fireunderthesnow.com. Also, special thanks to Paladin Gyatso, the subject of the film, and thanks to Gindin for interpreting.
Thank you.
And best of luck to you, Paladin.
This is Gabriel San Roman, your subversive historian. 177 years ago, on this day in people's history, Nat Turner's slave rebellion took place in Virginia. On August 22, 1831, Turner and seven other slaves entered the home of his slave master and killed the entire family. Believing God had directed him through visions to free slaves, Turner's rebellion swelled to 70 or so freeing enslaved blacks who attacked plantation to plantation, killing upwards to 55 white people. The rebellion would only last a few days before being put down, and Turner escaped only for a few months before being captured, hanged, and skinned. In response to his rebellion, white mobs unleashed violence on blacks, killing nearly 200, many of whom had no connection to the rebellion. And now, for our stupid question of the day, were members of the white mobs hanged and skinned? Of course not. For Uprising, this is your truth, Professor Sane. It's no mystery why they conceal our history.
Welcome back to Uprising. All right, folks, we are 20 minutes through to the show. We have about two-thirds more of the show left, and we are wrapping up our summer sign-up drive, our summer sign-up membership drive, where we have been asking you for the past week to become a member of KPFK. What you just heard was such a remarkable story of this man, this monk who has endured so much and continues to struggle for freedom. I mean, that's the kind of story you hear on Uprising and KPFK. Give us a call right now at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Become a member of KPFK or go to kpfk.org. And for a $50 pledge, we'll give you the KPFK grocery bag made of 100% recycled plastic bottles. And it's got our logo on it. It's been one of our most popular gifts so far this drive. Also, the KPFK 50th anniversary commemorative t-shirt that's available only through 6 p.m. this evening. Not going to be available after that. That's also been one of our most popular thank you gifts, because this fund drive, we are celebrating KPFK. That's the most important gift that we give you. So please don't wait any longer. In just a few minutes, we're going to be joined live on the phone by Howard Zinn. Who dares to play Howard Zinn elsewhere on your radio dial? I mean, you love Howard Zinn. You love people's historian Howard Zinn. And you don't hear Howard Zinn too many other places, particularly not on your radio dial. That's what KPFK does, folks. Don't wait any longer. We are nearly out of time on this fund drive. We need to hear from you. This is public radio. This is what it means to support public radio. It means becoming a member. And we've had many, many folks call in. Yesterday, I had a goal of 30 pledges for the hour, and we had 24 calling in, which isn't too bad. Can we get at least 30 this hour and maybe even more? So join us. If you love listening to Uprising, no, I'm not saying if you're listening to Uprising because you do love Uprising. You're listening to KPFK because you love KPFK. So call us, make a pledge, become a member. Don't wait any longer. 818-985-KPFK, $10 a month, and we will send you Taxi to the Dark Side, or $50 pledge for the bag, $50 for the t-shirt. You can enter into the iPhone sweepstakes or the other sweepstakes. Very, very important that you call right now. We're going to be joined by Howard Zinn on the phone after this very short break. But don't wait any longer, because remember, this is your radio station. You make it happen. It's up to you. If you want to keep listening to Uprising, you've got to become a member. You've got to join us.
In a world where media is obsessed with celebrities,
Britney Spears was arrested while driving the wrong way down the 101 after stealing one of Brangelina's surplus children. Britney told reporters that she missed her own kids. Brangelina claimed they were so busy with the other 16, they hadn't noticed that one of the little tykes was missing.
In a media world short on facts,
I will field no questions about the Forrestal incident. That's not change we can believe in, my friends.
Yes, sir, Mr. McCain. We can't just run around following obvious leads and reporting the facts. We could lose revenue.
But long on conjecture.
Barack Hussein Obama, Messiah or Antichrist? We report, you decide.
Once the dust settles, KPFK remains an oasis in a desert of corporate distractions, misinformation, and lies.
Hell, we're non-for-profit. We have no reason to lie.
KPFK is community radio, not empty tabloid commercialism. If you've heard the difference, pledge your support. Summer sign-up is winding down. Just a couple more days to visit kpfk.org and pledge your support, or pledge by calling us at 818-985-5735.
Welcome back to Uprising. Starting on Monday, Denver will host the Democratic National Convention. Tens of thousands are expected to convene at the Pepsi Center in downtown Denver, and even more are expected to attend Senator Barack Obama's nomination acceptance speech at Mile High Stadium. Protesters from across the country are planning to descend on Denver to voice their opposition to the two-party system. As Obama heads to his party's convention, his statistical lead over McCain has narrowed considerably. According to CNN's poll of polls, which averaged 7 surveys, showing Obama with a 1% advantage over his Republican rival. A Reuters Zogby poll released just 2 days ago actually projected McCain ahead in the race with a 5% lead. The two candidates have jockeyed to position themselves as men of the people. Obama has gone on the offensive, criticizing the Arizona senator for not knowing how many homes he owned. The McCain campaign has responded by saying that Obama was out of touch with everyday people by proposing to raise taxes. As both party conventions approach, we take some time today to hear from activist, historian, scholar, playwright, and author Howard Zinn about his opinion of this race. Welcome to Uprising, Howard. Hi, Howard. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, sure.
So we are heading into what many people have called a historic race. Do you, as people's historian, consider this historic? And if so, why?
I guess every race is historic. I don't know if I would call it historic. Another election between, you know, two candidates. And what's, I suppose, important about this race is that we have been at war for 5 years. After all, the presidential elections leading up to the Vietnam War, historic. The president's elections during the Vietnam War, historic. The presidential election in 1916, when the United States was about to enter World War I, was historic. So yes, any election when war and peace are the issues is a historic election. And I suppose, well, there is something specially historic about this election, as we have a black man running for president. But to me, whether it's historic or not is really the important thing, I mean, these protests that are taking place are taking place at the Democratic Convention, I think, because there are a lot of people in the country who think that Barack Obama and the Democratic Party have failed to make a bold case to the American people in this coming election. And, you know, your news report was that the race is very, very close. And I think that one reason the race is very, very close is that there has not been a very clear, bold statement by the Democratic Party leaders, including Obama, about withdrawal of troops from Iraq. In this morning's newspaper, there's a report of how the Bush administration is talking about a timetable for withdrawal. Well, if the Republicans talk about a timetable for withdrawal, and Barack Obama talks about a timetable for withdrawal, even though the timetables are different, you know, they talk about a couple of years, Barack Obama talks about 16 months, both of them hedged around with conditions, then it becomes hard for people who want the war to end right away, and I think this is true of a majority of the American people, hard for them, for the American people, to make a clear distinction between the candidates. So I think the idea of the protest is to say to the Democratic Party and to say to Barack Obama, you really want to create a great gap between you and the Bush administration. You want to make very clear that you are for the immediate withdrawal of American armed forces from Iraq, and that, in fact, you want to do more. You want the United States really change its policy from being an aggressive military force in the world to being a peace-loving nation. I think that kind of clear statement by the Democratic Party and by the presidential candidate would give the voters a choice. That would be historic.
Howard,
to have a choice.
Howard, you signed on, along with several others, to an open letter to Barack Obama just published in The Nation called Change We Can Believe In. And in it, you ask Barack Obama to, quote, stand firm on the principles you have so compellingly articulated. Now, the right and the Republican Party is already accusing Barack Obama of being a radical leftist. Do you think that he would risk actually taking the stands that you ask him to take and that he has in the past promised to take? And if so, if he did do so, could he win the election?
I think that's the only way he could win. I don't think it would be risky for him to take a more clear-cut and bold stands on the war, on health care, on taxing the rich, on changing the policy of the country, using the wealth of the country instead of for military purposes, for health and education. No, that would not be a risk. I think the greater risk for the Democratic Party and Obama is taking half-hearted positions on the war, taking complicated positions on health plan, talking about trivial things. You know, I heard your news broadcast, and they talk about how Obama is accusing McCain of not saying how many houses he owned. This is trivial. This is not important. I think the idea that Obama will lose votes and lose the election if he takes a bold stand is absolutely wrong. I think there's a fundamental problem here, and that is that the Obama and the Democratic Party, I think, are yielding to Republican definitions of what is strength and what is national security. And I understand that the convention of the Democratic Party sort of is emphasizing as its theme national security. And what national security is defined as by both the Republican and also the Democratic Party is military strength. And I think what the Democratic Party has to do is redefine national security, not as military power, but redefine it as health security employment security, child security, environmental security, that would be true national security. And if the Democratic Party thinks it must show that it is militarily strong by, let's say, removing troops from Iraq and putting troops in Afghanistan, then I think it is risking losing the election, because I think all the polls of the last several years show that the American people now want, in a very strong and clear way, want us to get out of the war in the Middle East.
My guest is historian, author, and playwright Howard Zinn, whose book, A People's History of the United States, has sold over a million copies and still going strong. Howard, McCain was a Skyhawk dive bomber for the U.S. Navy in Vietnam, and you were an Air Force bombardier in World War II. Isn't it interesting that both of you started in similar places, but McCain went in a completely opposite direction from you?
Well, I don't think McCain... In a certain sense, we started in the same place. That we both, enlisted in the Air Force, and we both dropped bombs. The difference is that after I finished dropping my bombs, I looked back on it, and I decided that dropping bombs on innocent people was wrong. Something that not just the Germans did, but that we did in World War II in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Dresden, and I decided that bombing a war is wrong. McCain did not make that decision. McCain is a believer in the war in Iraq, is a believer in continuing to drop bombs on people, and so we've gone in opposite directions.
And McCain is so much in a way the twin of Bush when it comes to the military and our military adventures. He even wants to go further. I mean, there was a town hall meeting recently where an audience member said, if we don't reenact the draft, I don't think we will have anyone to chase bin Laden to the gates of hell. And McCain's response was, ma'am, let me say that I don't disagree with anything you said. Essentially saying, he believes that the draft should be reinstated. Could mean we could be looking at a draft if McCain becomes president.
Well, that's quite possible, because if you want to continue a war and you run out of troops, that's the only way you can get more troops. You mentioned McCain as a pilot in the war. I think something should be said about McCain. That I haven't seen anybody in the press or in politics dare to say, and somebody should say it, and that is that McCain is not a hero. Sure, McCain sustained torture and abuse while he was a prisoner, but McCain dropped bombs on villages in Vietnam and killed innocent people. That is not heroic. And I think there's a kind of tendency, of leaders in the Democratic Party to sort of submit to the notion that McCain is a war hero, so that even if they're criticizing McCain, they feel they have to start off saying, well, I respect McCain for his service to his country.
Right.
McCain's service to his country consisted of participating in an immoral war in Vietnam. I don't consider that service to a country or to anybody.
Finally, Howard Zinn, what is your opinion of the candidacies of Ralph Nader and Cynthia McKinney and the role that these candidates are playing in this year's election?
Well, I think it's good for there to be independent voices that speak the truth when the major parties do not speak the truth. But at the moment when you get into the voting booth, I think at that point, voting for a third-party candidate is futile. And if there is even a marginal difference between Obama and McCain, and there is, that is, there's a greater possibility of change with Obama than McCain. If that even small possibility exists, and small possibilities can mean a matter of life and death for people, then I think at the moment you are in the voting booth, I think you have to put aside the idea of a third-party candidate at that point and vote for somebody who has a possibility of change. With Obama, there's that possibility. With McCain, there isn't. I don't think that truth-telling people like McKinney and Ralph Nader have their greatest power in the voting booth in the electoral process.
But couldn't they serve?
Their greatest power is outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Couldn't they serve to push Obama more to the left just by their
presence? Well, up to the point of the election itself, maybe. But the threat of the third-party candidate is so small that it the idea of voting for a third-party candidate is not going to push Obama to the left. I think what will push Obama in the right direction, I won't say to the left, I'll say
in the right
good
direction.
Okay.
In
the left direction, in the right direction, is a movement, a citizens' movement in the country, which people like Nader and McKinney can lead, and I think that's the that kind of movement is the kind that historically has moved presidents in a good direction, just as the great movements of the 30s moved Roosevelt in the direction of domestic economic reform.
Well, well, Howard Zinn, I want to thank you very much,
sure,
as always, for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Howard Zinn is our guest, our author, playwright, historian, people's historian. His book, A People's History of the United States, has sold over 1 million copies and still going strong. And by the way, on the weekend of August 22nd through the 24th, that's this weekend, the Green Party of Orange County will host the California General Assembly in Dana Point at the Dana Point Community House, located at 24642 San Juan Avenue in Dana Point. Green Party presidential candidate Cynthia McKinney will be attending on Saturday, August 23rd. That is this Saturday, August 23rd, at the Dana Point Community House, 24642 San Juan Avenue in Dana Point. We will be attempting to bring you an interview with Cynthia McKinney on Monday's program. You are listening to Uprising, and we want to ask you to go to your phones or go to your computer right now, make a pledge online, and become a member of KPFK. It's my last chance to ask you during the summer sign-up drive to become a member of this station and to show us your support. Give us a call right now. It's 818-985-5735. After this short break, we're going to go straight to the Black Agenda Report, which I know is so popular among our listeners. You love hearing Glenn Ford. We just heard from Howard Zinn before that, Paladin Gatso. An amazing series of guests every day, every week, every month, and for the past 5 years. And we've been going strong. We want to keep going strong. KPFK has been around for nearly 50 years. So we need your help to go on for another 50 more. So don't hesitate. We need your support. You can, for a $50 pledge, get the KPFK grocery tote bag. You can also get the KPFK anniversary special edition anniversary t-shirt. It's a beautiful t-shirt with this green vintage logo of a fist in the air from one of our older folios. You can also get Taxi to the Dark Side, a DVD of this amazing Academy Award winning documentary that we featured yesterday, the interview that we did with a filmmaker we played yesterday, any number of gifts. And of course, for every pledge you make, particularly online, you can easily enter to be in our iPhone sweepstakes or the other sweepstakes. You can also enter to the for the sweepstakes to everything other than the iPhone if you call in. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. 818-985-KPFK. We've worked so hard to bring you this material, to book these guests, to do the research, to bring you these stories that educate you. Now it's your turn, folks. It's your turn to join us. And I'm appealing to every single one of you listening out there. I want you to call us right now. You have been considering joining. You've been thinking about it. You've been on the edge. You've been on the verge. You're wondering if you should. I'm telling you, you really ought to. It's tax deductible. We're a nonprofit institution. We are completely unique. There's nothing like KPFK on your radio dial. We are independent and democratically run. We are truly public media. We don't take corporate sponsorship. We don't take underwriting. And we are counting on you. You are our electorate. You are our membership. And if you haven't joined already, if you haven't become a member, you must do so now. It doesn't matter whether you live in Los Angeles or Santa Barbara or not. It doesn't matter if you're listening live from another country. In fact, very recently, we on KPFK, someone made a $700 donation from Germany because they listen live to Germany. I believe it was to Roy Tuckman's program. So if you're listening online and you're in any one of hundreds of other countries, then make a pledge right now. You can do it on your credit card. You can do it online. 818-985-5735 is the number to call if you want to actually call in. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, the Black Agenda Report.
I'm sorry, but it's over.
It just can't be over.
I have to move on. I have other things to do.
Give me one more chance. I'll take advantage of my opportunities.
Nope, no more chances. This thing is over.
I know I didn't spend my time wisely, but I've just been so busy.
Sorry.
But I really wanted an iPhone, and I wanted to eat a chicken wing with Boncho Sanchez and Maggie LaPique up at Jillian's, up there at Universal City Walk. You're being so unfair.
You had ample time to visit kpfk.org and pledge. And you have a hands-free device in your car. Why didn't you call 818-985-5735 while you were in traffic? You ignored me.
Come on, Summer. Summer, sign up. I won't make the same mistake again. Just one more chance. Please.
Nope. It's a wrap, buddy. It's finito. Yasuvo. Verchatsa.
No!
Don't you get left out. KPFK's summer sign-up is wrapping up. Pledge now at kpfk.org or call us at 818-985-5735. You could be a sweepstakes winner, a guitar signed by Tom Morello or Jackson Browne, weekend passes to the Monterey Jazz Festival, tickets to see the sold-out Cheech and Chong show at the Gibson Amphitheater, among others. Hurry, y'all. Time is running out.
Glenn Ford is a writer and radio commentator and the executive editor of the Black Agenda Report. This week's commentary is about Blackwater.
The U.S. Justice Department is going through the preliminary motions of notifying six Blackwater mercenaries that they may be indicted in last September's massacre of 17 Iraqi civilians at a traffic circle in the heart of Baghdad. The proper punishment would be that meted out by the Angolans to four private assassins, including one American in 1976. Execution. But of course, Angola was exercising its right as a sovereign nation in dealing with hired killers, who are neither soldiers nor partisan fighters under international law, just criminals who murder for wages and the thrill of it. Iraq has no sovereign government, as proven by the fact that Blackwater's thugs are still breathing. Mercenaries are now an entrenched institutional factor in U.S. global and domestic security strategies. Barack Obama cannot even begin to explain how he'll disentangle U.S. mercenaries, euphemistically called contractors, from the uniformed occupation force in Iraq. The two forces are nearly equal in size, 144,000 troops and 126,000 highly paid civilians, 30,000 of them armed to the teeth. Washington considers the soldiers of fortune absolutely indispensable to the protection of key installations and personnel. On the home front, Katrina, that harbinger of what a future urban America in crisis will look like, saw hundreds of thugs from Blackwater and other mercenary outfits patrolling the streets of New Orleans as if they were the legitimate authorities. The day may not be far off when the New Orleans nightmare becomes a national reality. The specter of mercenary occupation of American cities is no longer far-fetched. It has already happened. The logic of permanent domestic mercenary deployment is rooted in the historical fact that the rich created the modern state to protect their wealth and to harness the nation as a whole to produce more wealth for their benefit. Mercenary armies and police forces put the lie to the pretense that the state serves to protect the general population. As the current corrupt order decays, the rulers find that due process and other niceties of law, including armies operating under codes of military justice and civil service police forces, restrict their freedom of movement, the process of dispensing with the traditional coercive organs of the state in favor of private mercenaries is well advanced in the United States, where the privatization of prisons of all kinds is in full swing. These are conscious, methodical decisions by the nation's corporate rulers rather than emergency measures. At some point, the privatization of coercive power becomes irreversible, as seems to have already occurred in the U.S. military. Despite the many crises caused by Blackwater's lawless behavior in Iraq, the U.S. State Department claims it can't get out of its contract with the outfit until next May, when, in reality, Washington has no idea how to replace its soldiers of fortune. If privatization of the military and police functions of the American state continues, there will come a time when no U.S. government will be capable of breaking a contract with their hired killers. There will be no one left but mercenaries to enforce the government's will. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford.
Visit www.blackagendareport.com for more information. And welcome back to Uprising. So I'm going to take the last 10 minutes of the program today to tell you that you need to become a member of KPFK and to really ask you to look inside yourselves and your wallets to figure out whether you really want to become a member of the station or not. Now, how would you decide whether you want to become a member of the station? Maybe you listen every single day to Uprising or any other program on KPFK. Maybe you tell a friend occasionally about a program that you heard on Uprising. Maybe you've been to a concert or a lecture or a talk that you heard about on Uprising or the community calendar. Maybe you talked about an news event that you heard about on Democracy Now! Or Uprising. You heard a particular analysis that you hadn't heard anywhere else, that you hadn't heard in the New York Times, read in the New York Times, or seen in the Wall Street Journal's website, and you heard it on Democracy Now!, you heard it on Uprising, and you brought it up to a friend at a party. All of these reasons, all of these reasons and more, qualify you to become a member of KPFK, because you must have ownership in this station. You should have a stake in this station, because you have gotten something from KPFK that you don't get anywhere else. So please call us right now at 818-985-5735 and join people like Brian Garrett from Sherman Oaks, like Edith Monsees from La Jolla, Peggy Evans from Gardena, in becoming a member of KPFK. These are just a few of the folks that have pledged online, or rather pledged on the phone, but there's many others who pledge online. And we would love to hear from you, because every single one of you who calls tells us that we are doing a good job, tells us to continue doing what we're doing. If we don't hear from you, it's as though you don't really care. But I know that you do, because you wouldn't be listening otherwise. So 818-985-5735 is the number to call. 818-985-KPFK. Let me tell you a little bit about some of the thank you gifts that we do have. Our most popular thank you gift so far, we've given away almost 200 of these, has been the KPFK 50th anniversary t-shirt. You can get that in any size that you want, men's or women's sizes. And it's a beautiful black t-shirt with a green logo from one of our folios in past years of a green fist in the air, which is, of course, the ubiquitous revolutionary sign. And people have really been responding to that, and they're very excited, and they've been getting this t-shirt because you really can't get it anywhere else. It's a collector's item. It's going to become a collector's item after 6 p.m. today, because after 6 p.m. today, you can't get it. You're not going to be able to get it. It's being special ordered just for this fund drive. And it's really a membership drive. That's why we've been calling it a membership drive. It's not about how much money we raise. It's about how many people we get to join this radio station. You can pledge $50 for the t-shirt by calling us at 818-985-KPFK, or you can go online to kpfk.org. We've only had 10 pledges so far this hour. I want to hear from 20 more of you. Now, another very popular gift has been the KPFK grocery tote bag. It's made from 100% recycled recycled plastic bottles, and we're very proud of this bag. You know, all of the stuff that we talk about on Uprising, about the environment, about climate change, all of the guests that we get on, and the fact that it is absolutely imperative that we start acting like, you know, that start really acting in the interest of saving the planet. And this grocery tote bag and listening to KPFK is a step in the right direction. It's not going to save the planet, but it's a first step. And, you know, it's becoming very fashionable these days to carry a bunch of grocery bags, your own canvas bags, to the grocery store. But more than fashionable, of course, it is really becoming the way to go. In fact, you know that Los Angeles has banned plastic bags. In fact, in about a year or so, stores will not be carrying plastic bags. And you heard about that story on KPFK on Uprising. So get the grocery tote bag. It's a $50 pledge. Another very, very popular gift has been George Carlin, the late, the great George Carlin. Nearly 2 months ago, he passed away. George Carlin, who made radio history on Pacifica with his Seven Dirty Words routine that resulted in the FCC law that prevents us from saying certain of seven words on the air. And there is a CD that is available from the vault. We're calling it the No Stuff Pack. If you are a fan of George Carlin, you know what that means. That's a $50 pledge, and almost 70 if you have pledged to get that, and that's available. In fact, you know, why don't we hear from George Carlin right now? You know, we're talking to Howard Zinn about the election, about Republicans versus Democrats, and George Carlin always said it very, very effectively. I mean, here's an excerpt from a recent show that he did where he talked about conservatives and some of the hot button topics like abortion that comes up every 4 years during a presidential election.
Boy, these conservatives are really something, aren't they? They're all in favor of the unborn. They will do anything for the unborn. But once you're born, you're on your own. Pro-life conservatives are obsessed with the fetus from conception to 9 months. After that, they don't want to know about you. They don't want to hear from you. No, nothing. No neonatal care, no daycare, no Head Start, no school lunch, no food stamps, no welfare, no nothing. If you're pre-born, you're fine. If you're preschool, you're conservatives don't give a about you until you reach military age. Then they think you are just fine, just what they've been looking for. Conservatives want live babies so they can raise them to be dead soldiers. Pro-life. Pro-life. These people aren't pro-life, they're killing doctors. What kind of pro-life is that? What, they'll do anything they can to save a fetus, but if it grows up to be a doctor, they just might have to kill it? They're not pro-life. You know what they are? They're anti-woman. Simple as it gets. Anti-woman. They don't like it.
Oh, the late, great George Carlin. I wish he was around to comment on this year's election. And he is featured, his voice is featured in the archives of Pacifica Radio, because Pacifica Radio has been playing his incisive, cutting-edge, caustic comedy for many years. He has, you know, he really was a Pacifica icon. And the No Stuff Pack, which is a CD featuring George Carlin from the archives, is also our thank you gift to you. It's so important you become a member of KPFK, but more than, you know, important, imperative, and all these other words I'm using, you know, KPFK makes you smile. KPFK makes you think. If you just enjoyed what you just heard, you know, think about how KPFK really makes your brain tick in so many different ways. Maybe you are a listener of Global Village and you really enjoy hearing the music, the different kinds of music that you never hear anywhere else on the dial. Maybe you love listening to Democracy Now! Maybe that's the program that really makes it. But, you know, if you're listening right now, you're probably an Uprising fan. And if you are, well, I know you are because you wouldn't be listening otherwise. You should call right now. Make a pledge and join Dan Price from Los Angeles. He just made a pledge on our phone. Eric Martinez from Alhambra, thank you so much for donating and becoming a member of KPFK. Walter Schasser from Venice. Join these folks who have called in, who have pledged, who have become members. It's absolutely imperative that you don't waste another minute. It's my last chance to ask you to become a member as part of the KPFK Summer Sign Up Membership Drive. It's done at 6 p.m. today. Now, think about this, folks. We've done this very differently, this fund drive. This has been a week-long fund drive that has been focused on membership rather than dollars. It has been focused on content rather than thank you gifts. We have not been playing hours of clips from DVDs and documentaries. We have not been preempting programs and re-airing other programs. We've heard from you. Many of you have said, you know, I love KPFK, but I don't like to tune in during Fun Drive because, you know, it's beating the drum and rattling the tin cup, and it's just, it's too much for me. Well, we have heard you. We have responded to you. Now we want to hear you respond to us. I know several people who've said to me lately, I've been really enjoying the programming that you've done recently. And my question is to you, well, where are the listeners then? Call us right now. You know, there are also in the sweepstakes that you can join on the internet, Cheech and Chong tickets. Cheech and Chong getting together for a performance, a sold-out performance. They gave us 5 pairs of tickets to KPFK listeners. Only, as of yesterday, only 16 people had entered to win those tickets. Okay, think about that. 16 people. The odds are enormous. The odds are phenomenal. So if you want to win these tickets, if you want to win the guitars by Tom Morello and signed by Jackson Brown, call us right now, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We are out of time, folks. Go to kpfk.org, make a pledge. Go to your office or home computer and make that pledge online. Every single pledge we get tells us that you like this kind of fund drive or not the other kind of fund drive. That's what that means. If you don't call and pledge, we may have to go back to that other kind. And I don't want to do that. And I know you don't want me to do that. 818-985-KPFK. We are out of time for Sonali Subversive Thought for the Day. Corazon Aquino once said, "The media's power is frail. Without the people's support, it can be shut off with the ease of turning a light switch." We need your support, folks. That's Corazon Aquino. That's Sonali Subversive Thought for the Day. You've been listening to Uprising. Gabriel San Roman is our assistant producer. Teddy Robinson is our engineer. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kulhatkar. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks so much for listening.